It's time for the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales. We'll hear from your host, Aaron Quillen, after this.
Lawn and garden demo days are coming to MTS this Friday and Saturday, April 25th and 26th. You'll get 10% off Exmark original parts with a $500 minimum order. Also, get a $1,000 rebate on the Laser ZE, S, or X series, $700 rebate on the Radius series, or $2,500 rebate on select Laser Z models, and 0% for 48 months on Laser models along with the total package option. Lawn and garden demo days this Friday and Saturday at Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville.
Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. With us today we have Colton Wendell.
How are we doing?
Great. Thanks for being here, Colton.
No problem. Thanks for having me in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you for participating in this past year's Big Buck Contest. Congratulations. Second place finish with an absolute stud of a whitetail.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. So let's get right into it. You killed a heck of a deer in the 160s.
Yes, sir. It was, I don't remember the exact measurements, but between 166 and 167.
That's awesome. And then, is that your biggest buck?
No. I killed a 178 and change in 2023. And that was my next, this one was my next deer. And then I ended up killing another 150 this year as well.
You are a big buck killer. How old are you?
I'm 19 years old.
19 years old and just stacking them.
I'm trying. My dad taught me everything I know, so kind of following his footsteps and trying to one-up him a little bit here and there.
All right, so that's how you got into hunting, through your dad?
Yes, sir. He started when he was in his young 20s, and then as soon as I was born and he could teach me, I followed after him, and I killed my first deer when I was 7, and just been addiction from there on.
That's outstanding. And so you're here local in Jerseyville?
I live in Godfrey, yep.
Okay, awesome. And so you killed this buck with a bow. Is that your primary type of hunting?
Yeah, I used a gun when I first started when I couldn't pull a bow back. But since I've been able to draw a bow and hunt with it, I'm addicted to that. And I don't even gun hunt anymore. I just bow hunt.
All right. I love it, man. So this deer, you said 167 approximately.
Yes, sir.
All right. Walk us through this. You don't have to give away your secret spot, but you're in Godfrey area. What county? Madison County?
Yes, sir.
All right. So Madison County, and you're hunting a field edge family farm. What was going on here?
Yeah, it's a field edge, a spot we've had for a few years now. We just got the deer on camera this year. We never seen him before until this last summer here. And as soon as we got him on camera on velvet, we knew he was a good deer, but really, really small body. I thought for sure he was a young deer. So I really didn't even want to shoot him at first, just based on trail camera pictures. But you know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
And then started hunting as soon as October hit, trying to get on him because he was on a pretty frequent pattern. But October 7th, I ended up seeing him. The closest he got was probably 60 yards. And once I seen him, though, I knew there was probably no way I was going to be able to pass him.
Nice.
But, yeah, after that, I kept hunting continuously. And October 24th, I believe it was a Thursday evening, I went out, kind of spur-of-the-moment thing.
Just okay.
Getting the stand. I think I got out there about, I don't know, 2, 3 o'clock. And I think it got dark that evening, about 6:45. So I had 3-4 hours to hunt.
Okay.
And I was sitting there, I'd seen a couple deer, and then I heard a side-by-side coming down the road, and they started slowing down, and they started driving out in the middle of the field. I was kind of confused, I didn't know what was going on, and ended up being the farmers. They were taking some soil samples, but that was about 5 in the evening, so once they were out there beating on those spikes to get the soil samples, I didn't really have much confidence, but
yeah.
I sat there and waited, and about 6:30 is when it happened. He came strolling along the edge of the cornfield. I think it was about somewhere between 18-20 yard shot. I put it right on him. I hit him a little bit high, but I seen blood come out immediately, so I figured he was probably going to go down, and I heard him crash within 100, 150 yards, and he went down into a creek, and he was dead right there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it worked out good. My dad was hunting with me in a different stand, and I just went back to the truck, and I told him. He didn't really believe me at first. Usually, I like to give him a little time before I go look, but after hearing him crash that hard in the creek, we walked over there, and he was laying right there. And as soon as we found him, it started pouring. So I'm glad that I was able to find him immediately so we could stay on, or without trying to stay on blood in the rain.
All right. And then, so it was October 24th. What kind of field were you hunting?
It was a cut corn. I think just cut it probably a couple of days, a week before. So I wanted to be out there not much longer after they cut it, try and get whatever was left on the ground while they were picking at it to see if I can make something happen, and it worked.
Dude, those combines are like the dinner bell, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so as you're up there, you know, you knew this buck was in the area. You'd been hunting him. What certain aspects of that particular setup made you go there?
Well, he's kind of, the spot that I'm on is only probably 45 acres, but he was kind of all over the farm, so I didn't really know exactly where to go, but I'm a big play the wind guy, so went to what I thought was going to be the best wind, trying to blow away from the rest of the property, and ended up being a pretty decent wind. It was kind of blowing me out in the field, but towards the road a little more rather than towards the timber.
Okay.
So I went to that spot, and like I said, I knew that cut corn was there, so I believe it was like a southeast wind.
Okay.
That would have been what I needed, and he would have came from my east, so if he would have got right under me, might have started smelling me, but I was able to get to him before he got all the way to me, so it's kind of a quarter and two shot.
Yeah.
But it worked out good, so playing the wind is my biggest benefit, I think.
I think that's, I mean, hands down, probably the most important aspect when it comes to hunting with a bow.
Yeah, I definitely agree, because getting him inside that 40-30 range to be able to get a good shot with a bow is tough, and we'll never be able to top their nose.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there are certain factors that come into it, you know, your thermal and all these aspects. So many times you get a deer underneath you and you're like, how does this thing not smell me? But, you know, maybe a strong enough wind to blow over their back. I'd say, all in all, I'm with you. That wind, that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, especially those, even if he wasn't super mature, once they have bigger antlers, I think they get smart.
Oh, yeah.
I think they know when they're bigger.
Oh, yeah. So let me ask this. You said your father taught you everything you know. I mean, that's a pretty big shout out to the old man. I like that. What are some of the fundamentals that he instilled in you with regard to bow hunting?
So, like I said, he started hunting in his early 20s, and I mean, he's been a killer. He's killed 5 or 6 over 170. So I always knew he was doing something right.
Yeah.
From a young age, I wasn't really sure what it was, because I was learning. Obviously, he was teaching me everything. I went with him as much as I could, and it was really all up to him, because he took me every chance that I could when I was younger, and I appreciate that a lot, because without it, I wouldn't be who I am today, and that's all I do is hunt, really. But, yeah, he taught me just about everything, taught me how to play the wind and just be smart while I'm out there. Be quiet is one of the biggest things as well. Just, it's definitely a big patience game.
Yeah.
You got to have your patience while you're out there, but just always basically more or less following after him rather than him necessarily teaching me everything, just kind of watching and learning more than anything, really.
Okay. And then do you guys have a particular style, type of way you like to hunt? Like you killed this in a field edge. You know, a lot of guys like to hunt field edges, but do you have other type of aspects or you know, land formations or anything that you try and target?
Yeah, for me, I like to be on the edge of something, whether it's a food source or CRP for bedding or something.
Okay.
Try not to go in the woods deep. I like to kind of leave them alone. Because, I mean, you don't always know where they're bedding, but for the most part, you can usually get a good sense of it. So I try to not put too much pressure on them, stay on the edge where I believe they'll be cutting through or crossing by and just going from food to bedding. Just try to get as close as I can to the food source without bumping them and just stay on the edge. That one, like I said, was edge of the cornfield, but yeah, I usually put most of my stands around the edge of CRP or some kind of cut food if it's possible.
Okay. Yeah, as an outfitter, you know, we've got we book a host of clients, you know, we got a bunch of clients, and you know, we've got to manage these farms to make sure that they, you know, are not pressured, so that when the next group of guys comes in, we've got good hunting.
Absolutely.
And you know, field edges, we do a lot of field edge hunting, and you know, sometimes, you know, morning we'll look at doing some timber, or you know, we've got various, you know, strategies on pinch points, you know, all of these factors. But overall, it's great to have the patience and allow those deer to come to us rather than go in and try and kill them. Now, when guys like you and your dad are out there hunting, you know, you don't have as much responsibility to others outside of your hunting group, you know, or to each other, to where you can take certain risks. Are there any times where you, you know, during the season say, today's a risk day, or anything like that, or are you more of a conservative hunter?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying for sure, but I think most of the time I'm probably a little more conservative. I try to, like I said, I really don't want to put any pressure on them, but sometimes it's nice to just get in there and hope to see them. Especially, I like running cameras. I mean, there definitely is a downfall to them, because you see stuff and then you think you're going to see them while you're hunting, and it's definitely not how it works at all.
But, yeah.
I would say there's times I definitely push in a little deeper and try to go after them a little more, especially if I've had them consistently on camera,
mm-hmm.
when I know they're for sure in the area at least.
Yeah.
But like you said, evenings, most of the time I'm always going to stay on the edge. I'm not going to really hunt the timber in the evening. But morning for sure, definitely like to slip in sometimes in the mornings, get up in the woods when you think they're probably feeding and get in there before they come back to bed. And that actually worked for me when I killed that second one this year. He was coming back to his bedding area after he was eating about 8 in the morning, and it worked out good. But yeah, the bigger one I killed here, going on that corn edge in the evening, I think definitely helped. Or if I would have went any deeper in the woods, I think it might have been, I don't think I would have been successful.
Yeah, I call them superstitions, right? Everybody's got their different aspects of deer hunting, whether, you know, scent free, you know, people look at the moon phase. I call them superstitions, because in the grand scheme of things, you know, if you just wait for one particular wind, then that might affect your ability to hunt, you know, that farm. Like, hey, the rut's passed, we never got that wind, sorry, you know. But with these being called superstitions, do you have a few superstitions that you tend to adhere to?
No, yeah, I agree with that aspect too. I think the wind gets the best of me sometimes, because it sometimes tells me not to go on the spot, even though that deer could be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that definitely hurts me sometimes, but there's definitely times I kind of say screw the wind, because I kind of feel like I need to be there.
Right.
But most of the time I'm going to play the wind, and if it's not right, I try to see if I can at least access it from a different way. But that farm in particular is pretty hard to access. Kind of only get in on one side of it, so that kind of hurts me there. But besides that, no, I kind of fall in the scent game a little bit and use scent spray here and there. But this last year, I've kind of not really gone that route.
Okay.
Worn my clothes, not really sprayed down or anything, and just went out there and hope for the best and kind of be the right place, right time. And
yeah.
Then, like I said, still go with the wind as much as I can, but same with you said, then can't always play it or you're not going to get to hunt.
Right. And, you know, everybody's different. Some guys only have one piece of property to hunt. I don't know. Did you kill both of those bucks on the same property?
Yes, I did.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty interesting mix. You got corn and CRP along with timber?
Yep. It's probably, I don't know, it's a couple acres of corn, not too much at all, maybe 5 to 7 acres of corn, and small CRP field, maybe 2 to 3 acres, and the
okay.
rest is woods. I like the layout of it a lot. It works good, but just definitely harder access, because there's really only one frontage to get in through.
Yeah.
Unless you were able to get permission from the neighbors, but we haven't tried that, so it's really only one-way access. So playing the wind is a little more important for me there, just because I have no other way to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, you being a young man, you're attending school, right?
Yeah, I'm going to Lewis and Clark right now, trying to be an electrician.
Okay, awesome. So with school, and I mean, everybody's got their obligations, but with school, I mean, that can cut into your hunting time too.
Yeah, it definitely can, but I think it's honestly been easier because college, once I got in, it was way more lenient than high school, honestly. Just the amount of free time was actually quite a bit because high school, I mean, I'm there from 8 to 3, and now most of my classes are from 9 to noon, and then I have the evenings to hunt. So mornings, I don't really have much opportunity, but being able to hunt in the evenings is really nice, and I have all that free time. So pretty much all throughout the week, I could hunt in the evening, and I think that led to my success as well.
Nice. All right, well, with that being said, we're going to take a quick break and get a word from our sponsors.
Lawn and Garden Demo Days are coming to MTS this Friday and Saturday, April 25th and 26th. You'll get 10% off Exmark original parts with a $500 minimum order. Also, get a $1,000 rebate on the Laser ZE, S, or X series, $700 rebate on the Radius series, or $2,500 rebate on select Laser Z models, and 0% for 48 months on Laser models along with the total package option. Lawn and Garden Demo Days this Friday and Saturday at Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Jonathan Prain with Tarrant & Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company is a full-time land broker who can help you maximize your hard-earned dollars. Call Jonathan for a free assessment and to assist you in selling or finding your income-producing farm, dream hunting spot, rural home, or investment property. Jonathan Prain with Tarrant & Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company. Call 618-225-0568, 618-225-0568.
Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today, we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. Joining us is Colton Wendell, second place big buck contest. Young man, you're 19 years old and you're stacking big deer.
Yes, sir. It's working out pretty good.
That is awesome.
Stay with it.
Yeah, and big shout out to your dad. What's his first name?
Jason Wendell.
Jason Wendell, you got a fine young man here, and you taught him a lot because his pictures are proof. He's killing big ones. Let's talk a little bit about this second deer you killed. You said it was a morning hunt.
Yeah, it was a morning hunt. It was November 2nd, so it was 9 days later, which was pretty insane to me. But yeah, I slipped in the morning up in this flat that got cleared out this past summer. Actually, it was full of honeysuckle, but she was able to get the property cleared out, and it helped us a lot. Actually, that was one big advantage of this piece, is nice clear up on the top ridge, and I was able to get a new stand in there, hung it this summer, and it worked out good. It was a really nice spot.
Okay, so this was a new stand. Was it your first time hunting it, or you put a couple of sits in it before?
That was actually my first time hunting it this year. I don't remember. I think I hung it in September. But yeah, like I said, November 2nd, that was the first time I slept in there and hunted to that spot, and it worked out good. And it was just a hang-on I threw up, kind of. I just like using hang-ons because I think they're a little more secrete than ladders.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, ladders are definitely more comfortable, but they're just a little bulky and hard to put up by yourself. So throwing up a hang-on is definitely a lot easier for me. You be able to use my lineman's belt and stay safer, throw them up, and kind of face the platform on the way of the tree that you like a little more and kind of be a little more hidden.
Yeah, and you know, get you some experience, you know, climb with the lineman belt for your upcoming career as a lineman.
Yep, so I guess that'll work.
So with your stands, you find that, you know, a lot of your topographical features on land aren't going to change. There will be some changes, like you just said, with the honeysuckle getting cleared out of that area on the shelf. Do you find yourself hunting the same stands typically over, or do you find yourself making more and more adjustments over the years?
So for me, I think I really don't move my stands much. I kind of hunt them year after year, but I definitely add stands.
Yeah.
Because once I find a good spot, unless it's a like horrible spot where I'm not seeing deer, I just think I'm just never going to have an opportunity, I usually won't move it. Mm-hmm. I like leaving them in the same spots. But then there's definitely like the stand I killed the first one out of, I just threw it up the year before last, and that's where I killed the bigger one 2 years ago as well. And
okay.
I just decided to go out on a whim and throw it up on that field edge, and it was really the only tree in the area that I could get a stand in there. And then same with this other one up on this oak flat. It worked out good, and I just kind of trying to find spots that I think the deer are cruising that I think they're going to follow, and just try and kind of be on the edge, not right on top of them. But I like being able to have that 20 to 30 yard shot, kind of get out on the edge of them, kind of see where they're going to be going.
Yeah. What are some of the other factors that you look into? So, you know, when you're looking for a setup, what are some of the things you look at?
Like I said earlier a little bit, I really like to be on that, stay on the edge of the bedding and the food a lot if I can possible. I like to do that a lot because they're either going to be sleeping or eating most of the time. Mm-hmm. And that's really all they have to do. But going towards the rut, that's kind of what I focused this oak flat stand on, is I thought for sure there'd be deer moving through there running, but I didn't really get an opportunity to see any rut action this year, being bucked out by November 2nd.
Yeah.
So that was a little, I didn't really get to see if that stand worked for the rut, but it produced that second deer I killed this year, so that's all that matters to me, I guess.
Right. Now, was there it was obviously a great feeling to kill a second buck and be bucked out by November 2nd, but were you also a little bit sad?
Yeah, deep down I definitely was. I mean, there's nothing to complain about that, but I wanted to keep hunting, especially the rut, just to see how that stand would do and see what would move through there. But being bucked out that early, I mean, I can't complain.
Right. So is there a type of thing where now you are going to lay off the farm and, you know, let the old man have his crack at it, or you get out there and do some doe hunting? How does that work?
Actually, my dad killed a good one off there between those two dates as well. It was a smaller scoring deer, but definitely an older deer. He's looked the same for the past 3 years.
Okay.
So this farm keeps producing. It's a great spot. But, yeah, I think we need to get on a little more doe patrol out there. We kind of laid off it and just not really shot anything unless it was a buck, just to kind of, I don't know, keep it where it needed to be and try to produce what we could. But yeah, I think we need to shoot a couple does off there. They're getting pretty lousy and smart with us.
Okay. Yeah, those old nannies, those got to be the first ones to go.
Yeah, I think for sure this year I'm going to definitely try and shoot a couple of them to get them out of there and just see what can happen, and hopefully we still got some good ones on camera after killing three off there this year.
Right. Well, if she blows, she's gots to goes.
I hear you there.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate the heck out of you coming out. Congratulations again, and big shout out to Outrageous Outdoors for sponsoring the Big Buck Contest here at WJBM. Second place prize right here, your gift certificate, $250 at Outrageous Outdoors.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate you putting this contest on and having me, and look forward to getting into it again if you plan on having it. Seems like a fun little way to bring the outdoors into some games.
Yeah, man. Well, if you keep it up, I'm sure you're going to be sitting in that seat again.
I'd love to. That's the goal every year. I'm going to keep trying.
Awesome. Well, thanks again.
No problem. Thank you, sir.
Every day I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes, let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day, that's the prayer this country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting and fishing and loving every day, black coffee in the morning, dark whiskey in the evening. I get red dirt rich and forever paid. Hunting and fishing and loving every day. Woo! Come on.
Lawn and Garden Demo Days are coming to MTS this Friday and Saturday, April 25th and 26th. You'll get 10% off Exmark original parts with a $500 minimum order. Also, get a $1,000 rebate on the Laser ZE, S, or X series, $700 rebate on the Radius series, or $2,500 rebate on select Laser Z models, and 0% for 48 months on Laser models along with the total package option. Lawn and Garden Demo Days this Friday and Saturday at Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville.